The future of DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, is very much in doubt in its fifth year. Despite support from both sides of the aisle for the young people eligible for DACA, President Trump is expected to terminate it sometime this week. Earlier this month, the nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute released a report called The Education and Work Profiles of the DACA Population to provide more details on who DACA-eligible people are, including levels of education and which jobs they have. Julia Gillatt is a senior policy analyst for the Migration Policy Institute, and she's with me. Julia, MPI breaks down the estimated 1.9 million people potentially eligible for DACA. What are the different categories they fall into?
So we estimate that about 1.3 million young people would be immediately eligible for DACA. They meet the age requirements, the education requirements. They entered the country as children and have lived in the United States for the required period. Then there are another about around 400,000 who would be eligible if they enrolled in a high school or a GED-type program. Then there are another 200,000 who will be eligible for the program once they turn age 15 if the program remains available.
How does the employment of DACA-eligible people differ from those who are also unauthorized immigrants and they're not DACA-eligible in terms of how much they're working, the kinds of jobs they're getting? I thought that was sort of intriguing, whether it's white-collar, blue-collar, et cetera.
So we looked at, you know, youth who are eligible for DACA. We estimate that about 76% are in the labor force. And as you mentioned, their kind of occupations that they're working are pretty different. So if you compare those who are eligible for DACA to those who are not eligible for DACA, those who are not eligible are working in the kinds of jobs you might think of when you think about unauthorized immigrants in general, kind of construction jobs or building, cleaning, and maintenance jobs. But among those who are DACA eligible, they're more likely to be working in indoor, white-collar kinds of jobs like sales or administrative support. So we are really seeing those differences.
And what sort of differences are we seeing in terms of education, whether they are trying to achieve higher education, whether they've graduated from high school? How different is that based on the general population and those who are DACA eligible?
Yes, among those who are DACA eligible, about one-third are currently still in a high school or GED program. About one-third have graduated from high school or earned that GED, and then about one-third are enrolled in college or have graduated from college. If you look at the overall population in the same age range, we're talking about folks who are age 16 to 32, that college enrollment rate is a little bit lower. So about a little over half of the overall U.S. population in this age range has either enrolled in college or already graduated. Among the DACA-eligible population, that share was 36%.
Here in Arizona, we've had conflicts over whether the state universities can offer lower tuition, in-state tuition, to those who are DACA-eligible. Community College District here in Maricopa County as well has gone through that. Are there certain obstacles to DACA-eligible students, DACA-eligible people getting a chance at higher education? Again, we've heard from many here who say that if they didn't get the in-state tuition, they couldn't move on to that.
Our study didn't directly touch on that issue, but what I could say is that, you know, there have been discussions over the years about offering in-state tuition in general to unauthorized immigrant youth. Some states, even before the DACA program, you know, passed policies saying if you're a young person who's grown up in this state and gone to our high school, we'll offer you in-state tuition regardless of your legal status. That's something that Texas was actually on the leading edge of. But after the passage of DACA, other states said, well, you know, young people who have this specific status as being part of the DACA program should be eligible for access to in-state tuition to help them enroll in college. And so there have been changing state policies over the years, and some of them are specifically targeted to DACA youth.
So as we're hearing that perhaps as soon as this week that President Trump may act to eliminate the program, from a policy shift like this, if DACA were to completely be eliminated, are there direct pitfalls that would concern you, not from a political standpoint, but from a policy standpoint?
Young people who benefit from DACA are able to move from these kind of, you know, outdoor lower-skilled jobs into indoor white-collar jobs. And so after, you know, if their work authorization were to expire, I think that we would find that DACA youth, regardless of education, would struggle to find jobs that were really commensurate with their education and their training. So I think, you know, of course, kind of as an economy, as a country, we want to make sure that we're really drawing on all the talents that we can of the people who are here. So that's one consideration. DACA has also been a program that emphasizes education. So to be eligible, young people have to be enrolled in high school or a GED program or have that high school degree or GED. And it provides an incentive to go to college. If you know that at the end of college you'll be able to use your skills and get a good job that, you know, rewards you, then that's really an incentive to enroll in college. And as we talked about, you know, having DACA can also help some young people access in-state tuition to make that college more affordable. So without DACA, it's possible there will be a little bit less of that education incentive. And, you know, we all know that better educated young people are better able to contribute to the country. So there are costs to the country if it were to end.
Julia Gillette is a senior policy analyst for the Migration Policy Institute. We've been talking about MPI's report, The Education and Work Profiles of the DACA Population.